You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
I don't know why. Well, the cadence. All right, we'll just push on. We presume it's recording.
You're very flat this morning. What's wrong?
Because
you're a bit uptight.
A chip was out of the computer, and ooh. I don't know that I've put it in. Now, Don.
Yeah, but geez. Listen, I'm not going to talk for 4 hours if we're not going to be recording.
So no, you don't do a lot of the talking. I do most of it.
No, I know.
So Don.
I'm just an adjunct.
Well, I presume it's recording. Now, Don, there's a bit to unpack.
We're
bit
flat
to
this morning. Come on.
Bit to unpack here. Now, for a start.
Yes, go.
Well, gee, there's so much. well, look.
You're very moody.
Well, it's just hard to know.
No, you've...
Can you believe this? This is where we're headed in this... wait till I get onto a woman, a girl, an ass hat.
A what?
An ass hat. Called Abby...
Now, hang on, whoa. Are you going to reply to something? Is this
Chatfield or Chats?
Abby Chatfield.
Chatfield, is it? Worth.
No, Chatfield. She's a reality star.
Oh, so what star?
Hang on.
A reality star?
Well, what would you call it?
A reality, part of a reality something.
Well, made her.
Hardly a star. I would reckon. I wouldn't know. They don't even know. So anyhow, this is a by way of explanation. This is how, Jesus, people cling around to the stems of stronger plants and try and get noticed. This is silly Abby. She's a young girl.
No, hang on.
She's an ass hat. Now, listen. So I did a podcast. We do a podcast here, and then I was asked to do a podcast with some boys called Sushi Mango. They're boys, and they're quite popular, and they recorded it. And then Abby Chatworth or Field?
No, Abby Chatfield.
Field. Who's Chatsworth?
Billy Chatsworth. I wouldn't have a clue.
Billy Chatsworth. Well, Abby Chatfield.
Yes.
Then critiqued the podcast that I did on the podcast that the podcast was on.
Well, that's fair enough.
Because she obviously didn't listen to it. And he just pulled out things to make her noticed.
She got a platform or a podcast?
I don't know what she, but it was. Hasn't upset me, but this was sent to me, and it said, that I said on the footy show that I used to be a bit edgy, and then she said, if you can't be funny without being racist, homophobic, or sexist, you aren't funny.
Referring to you,
Of course, and I was just wondering. I would like someone to tell me what I have said that's been homophobic, ever, or racist, ever. Racist. It's all right to have an opinion about people from other races, but that doesn't mean you're racist or sexist. And here's this this woman, girl, who has been on 8,000 reality shows and desperately trying to get noticed, and has been criticised for being sexist herself, and... comes out and says, what is she critiquing what we do for?
Why would you answer her?
Because it's just gratuitous.
Yeah, but why
crap.
Would you? Why wouldn't you just let it go through to the keeper?
Well,
you're giving him more air.
Well, I'm just saying. She's done a whole lot of reality shows on sexual based shows. I don't know what they're called, but The Bachelor and all that stuff. And apparently didn't learn much. Apparently was dumped by a boyfriend, Conrad. What would you bother critiquing someone critiquing another show for? Could you not actually? See if you can get through to the semis without dropping a set on your own merits, without speaking shit about things she doesn't understand or doesn't know. And I'll invite again. The only homophobic things or trans things I've ever said is that if you're a man and pretend to be a woman, don't play woman's sport. If you want to say... I was accused of being racist by saying George Floyd was a piece of shit, which he was. Nothing to do with his race, just a piece of shit, if you know who George Floyd is. And sexist, what are we can't have an opinion about women. Women can have an opinion about everyone else. Were they off limits? You can't have a comment about them. And if you do, you're a sexist. Seriously. So then someone said I was cancelled. I just want to do this.
God, we're firing up today. Well, I thought you were a bit off.
Well, this is why it's very enjoyable to have a forum like this, because the doctor from Sydney said, "Oh, have you been? Did the police cancel a show that you were meant to be on?" And I said, "Not that I know of." And then I worked out what it was about, and someone sent it to me. Bernie Finn, we had Bernie Finn in here. Mm. Do you remember Bernie Finn who had left the Liberal
DLP? He's now representing DLP election.
And if I can just find what I'm trying to read out here. And as a quid pro quo thing, he asked me to come to his campaign launch or something. I said, yeah, well, I'll come along to it. So then he said it wasn't on because people had rung the police and said that they were going to boycott it or go to it and protest it. Not about me, but about him. So this got extrapolated that because I was on going to be there, that it was about me. It wasn't about me at all. It was about Bernie, who his opposition have ganged up, and or some of them, and we're going to go along to the meeting or the function. And
he's pro-abortion, isn't he?
He was... He's pro-life. He's against abortion.
Oh, okay.
And they said he was a misogynist and that misogynist and I'll just read it out. And this is what the protesters said. This had nothing to do with me, but the doc in Sydney says, "Oh, I see they've cancelled the thing because you're on it." I said, "Didn't cancel the thing because I was on it." So this is what it said: Bernie Finn is hosting an event with Sam Newman to fundraise for the upcoming state election. Bernie Finn and the DLP oppose reproductive rights and the rights of the alphabet sexes. You know, it'll be QGDB. Join us to protest their misogyny and homophobia and transphobia. Well, they have every right to go and protest, but that's got nothing to do with me. I'm not transphobia, except if you're a man and want to play women's sport. I'm against that. You know, I don't care if you're an L, B, G, Q, L, whatever those alphabet sexes are, genders are. And I'm not sure what all that's about, but so the doc gets it and he says, "Oh, have you been cancelled?" I said, "I haven't been cancelled. Bernie cancelled it." It was A, because I'm not sure why he cancelled it.
Well, the police warned him, obviously. There could be a little bit of trouble.
Oh, what? So if anyone has a different opinion to those people that you're standing against, they cancel you because they come along and protest. How pathetic is that?
Well, you don't know how it would have... It
would have been fantastic. I would love to have gone to that and have some protesters. And not that I've got any axe to grind with any of those things. I was just doing him a favour by coming along. So there we are. We got silly Abby, a young...
Abby. She's not allowed to have an opinion.
Nah, sad. What? An opinion about what? An opinion about me being...
Yeah, well, we're all judgmental.
Yeah, well, I'm being judgmental of Abby, who's desperately trying to be noticed by having a whole lot of failed things that she's done and trying to...
Give it a more air.
Yeah, So then have a listen to this. So Shane Crawford, now you can't make this up. Shane Crawford has been criticised. Let me read out what Shane Crawford has been criticised for. Now, my very good friend Rob, he sent me this. It says, the theatrical agents or something, it's been incredibly disappointing. Have a listen to this, Don. incredibly disappointing and anger over offensive, in inverted commas, hiring of the great AFL player Shane Crawford for the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So the theatrical performing union or whatever has gone into a tiz over Shane Crawford being the star of the show Joseph and the Australian...
Is he the star or a name?
He's Joseph, I think.
Well, he hasn't got much of a part.
Oh, well, all right. Well, I don't know. Anyhow, they've the very fact that Shane's part of it, they've gone into... They said, oh, what about all the other people who have trained their lives for to be on the stage? And
well, so is he.
Of course he has.
He's done drama. He's done drama school and all the rest of it.
Fantastic. And as my friend...
Even whilst he was playing football, he was
Yes, and as my friend Rob says, this is what Rob says. He says...
But the amazing thing with Shane is, how would he have known the audition was on? Because obviously they would have tried to ring him, contact him, but he never picks his phone up. Have you ever tried to contact him?
No, I haven't.
You haven't, so you don't talk to him.
I'm trying to find what Rob said.
Well, you're off the air. But anyway, I just find it far more amazing, the fact that he obviously answered the phone call for the interview. Because
all right. So this is what Rob, my friend, says. He says, did you see this? They not sure they realise the huge and popular effort Shane has put in year after year at the Play Review, seen by millions, choreographed by professionals like Jason Coleman, dancing with professional dancers. How can a supposedly woke society write him off and be so narrow-minded? He's a star, and he is a star, and maybe they sign him up to be Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Maybe they signed him up because they wanted to sell some tickets.
That's what
did you ever think of that? And Shane's put the hard yards in, and just because you train to be on the stage all your life and don't get noticed, that's hardly Shane's fault. You know, maybe the people thought, oh, we'll try and make this a success. We'll put someone in who people might want to come along and see. could you believe people complain over that? If that is accurately portrayed and reported...
One or two people would have complained, I should imagine. The vocal minority.
Fair dinkum. So there we are. So that was the first thing. Hello, Max has arrived. I mean, we're going to do sport. It's a bit to unpack about the sport, Don. So that was that. And then we had an announcement. So, Ian Cook, Don, we could build politics. Now, Ian Cook, I got a feeling Ian Cook is, he was going to come in today, but he's put it off to next week, hasn't he?
Yes.
Well, I got a feeling...
No, hang on.
He's got an announcement to make.
Has he?
We thought he might announce it today, but I believe this is... Not really to do with iCook Foods. It is indirectly, but indirectly it's to do with iCook Foods. But I think he's about to step to the plate and take on the incumbent premier. I'd read between the lines. I don't know that I might have got over the top of my skis there, Don. You familiar with that term?
No, I'm not. But
well, because the mounting. The mounting dissatisfaction with the Premier and his government is overwhelming. Not a day goes by where more instances of corruption, dishonesty, fraud... It's a headline in the paper day.
It's the front page on Wednesday
and
today.
Someone should step to the plate and try and... And this is not a political announcement, really, per se, but someone should... I don't care if the Labor Party want to stay in power, well, good on them, but they must replace the leader. You cannot have a functioning society if someone who oversees their party is overseeing the most corrupt and dishonest and illegal and reprehensible party ever.
The other thing that it's missed a lot of people is the number of ministers, senior ministers, that are not contesting... Labor ministers not contesting the next election. I think there's four of them. And there's been a number of ministers resign over the last couple of years. Two senior ministers. Do you think they're sick of the way the Premier goes around doing business. And the red shirt thing is uncovered. A whistleblower from the fraud squad has come forward and has let something go to IBAC, where senior police officials or police officers dampen down the investigation into the red shirt.
To sweep it under the carpet.
Well, that's right, and it has been swept
this
under the carpet.
This is a whistleblower.
A whistleblower.
Alan Shields, whistleblower.
And also,
yep,
Mr. Sorry. Andrews,
yeah,
Mr. a couple Andrews. Of years ago, and I've watched this with interest because I don't understand why you'd give AFL football clubs money, but clubs received about $15 million.
Which clubs?
Well, North Melbourne.
No, which club? The AFL clubs?
Yes, AFL
clubs. Melbourne clubs?
Yes, just Melbourne clubs.
Oh, well, thank you, Don.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. Sorry.
AFL yeah, Melbourne yeah. clubs.
Now, at that time, Hawthorn didn't receive $15 million. Now, if we go back and turn the clock back a couple of years ago, there was two people who stood up to Andrews and questioned his pandemic measures. One was Peter Credlin from Sky News.
Yes.
And the other was Jeff Kennett writing in the Herald Sun.
Yes.
Now, he cannot get to Peter Credlin because she's employed, but he could get to Jeff Kennett through him being president of the Hawthorn Football Club. Now, that $15 million wasn't given to Hawthorn.
Oh, so now it's just a minute, Don.
Now,
so
hang on. Let me go on and say that then Daniel Andrews, and I was critical of Kennett being vocal, because you cannot in that position, because you will certainly divide the supporter base, which he did do, but Andrews wouldn't give Hawthorn because of Kennett. Then he injures his back. Do you realise? Andrews. Oh, he's off for three or four months, right?
Injured his back.
Yes. Don't you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he fell over.
Fell over. Now, Molino took over,
yeah,
the deputy, and the deputy awarded or granted Hawthorn $15 million. So it went to the budget, last budget in May. It's been approved by all the bureaucrats and whatever else, yet Daniel Andrews won't release it.
So, Don, let's just...
No, hang on. There's $15 million that he will not release.
Just going to recap your suggesting that every...
Conspiracy theory.
No, every AFL club in Melbourne received $15 million except Hawthorn, and you are saying that Hawthorn didn't get the 15 mil because of political opposition between the Premier and the ex-Premier.
Yes, the president of Hawthorn.
And then Mr. Molino decided, no, this wasn't actually equitable and palatable. We'll give the $15 million and square it up. And it still hasn't been granted because the Premier hasn't signed off on it.
It's been approved.
Oh, and he hasn't signed off
on it. But it brings up two matters, and I alluded to this a couple of weeks ago. How often does the government say, oh, yes, we will give money to this? Then it's got to go to a budget process, which might be 6 months down the thing, it mightn't get through, or they mightn't put it to the budget and it doesn't get approved. And yet the government at the time when they make the announcement get kudos, yet it never bears fruit.
Yes.
So the government just play us as fools.
It's pork barrelling, Don.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, you promise stuff and then sometimes you do it if it'll be politically expedient for you to do it, or you just ignore it because you got in. It's like you just get in on a promise and then you don't follow up on it. Now, Don.
Hang on, let me just go on, because this is a bit of a conspiracy, because Hawthorn had a bit of an election last year, and there was a group called Hawks for Change. And it was interesting, the background of some of these Hawks for Change were very much political orientated towards Labor.
Oriented.
Yes. And I just wonder if the Labor Party got involved in football club politics.
Anyhow, at least we got onto a subject you're actually passionate about, Hawthorn Football Club. And I'm sure there's some trotting or some show jumping coming up shortly, is there? Those two subjects that you actually get a firm over, Don. You actually
get a what over?
You get firm. You get aroused in your jodhpurs over.
Pretty hard, Johnny.
I tell you what, if anything's going to get you up and about, speaking about show jumping or Hawthorn does it for you.
I was watching 7 Plus the other day.
Now, just a minute.
Oh, no, I'll bring Max into this.
A minute, Don.
In news, just in sport.
As a sweep-away thing, do you think Ian Cook, do you think he's ramping up to do something?
I wouldn't know what Ian Cook's doing. I haven't heard for a while from what's happening with iCook Foods.
Well,
that's been shoved on the... It's been delayed. There's something going on there. Why is it taking so long? I thought it was early in March that they were...
It's taking so long because they're trying to duck shove it. They know they have been culpable. They have been absolutely instrumental in running that private enterprise company out of business, and they're just trying to ignore it and hope it'll go away.
No, they can't ignore it because it's in
shame. So I think Ian Cook's going to take another step in another direction and maybe actually try and oppose the Premier, do you think?
I wouldn't.
No,
I don't know what he's doing.
He was going to come on here, but he's coming on next week.
Next week now?
Apparently.
Okay. So what do you think we should do? We should watch this space.
We'll listen to this podcast. Yeah, that's what we should do. So that's that. Now, that's what I wanted to do, Don.
What?
As mentioned those things about...
Abby Chatfield?
Silly Abby. Shane about being ostracised or saying it's offensive that Shane is standing to be the Technicolor Dreamcoat Joseph or whatever his name is. Could you believe it? And Bernie
Shane,
Finn. I've been rounded up by people who said they're not coming along to see Bernie Finn because nothing to do with me, but I was just giving him a hand because he came on here. We like to do favours back to people who do favours to us, Don, don't we?
Talking about Shane Crawford, he was a losing bidder at a clearing sale in Finlay recently.
A what, Don?
A losing bidder at a clearing sale.
A clearing
sale?
What?
Well, yeah, farmers. Farmers have clearing sales.
No, I don't know what a clearing sale is. Is that porn star stuff?
No. Well, anyway, he was...
What?
This
garage sale.
No, it's called a clearing sale.
What are they clearing out? Lambs and ewes?
No, old machinery, old bits of thing. Anyway, he was a losing bidder on an old truck. $8,000 this old International went for. It still went. I don't know what he was going to do. Well, it goes.
It was running.
It still runs.
It still
goes, whatever you like to say. And Shane was the losing bidder at the Finlay clearing sales on this big truck. Now, what would he do with the truck?
Maybe
Shane?
He's going to put the Technicolor Dreamcoat on it and drive it around and advertise the show that he's... people say it's offensive that he's on. Maybe to sell some tickets, make it a
Can
huge...
Can he sing?
Hmm?
Can he sing?
Can he sing? I just... Do you have to sing?
Why wouldn't they approach you? Because you're a great singer. No, well, you are. I mean, your impersonations
Me and Bernie
Finn
Frank could go down...
Frank Sinatra, a very good old Michael Bublé.
Michael Bubble.
Bubble. You could do a Frank Sinatra. What do you call that? It's not crooning, is it?
Crooning. That's exactly what it's called.
What? Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, that's crooners.
Perry Como.
Yeah. Perry Comeover.
What's his name? Bennett. What was his name?
Tony.
Tony Bennett. They're all crooners?
Yeah, they're crooners.
Okay.
I've got you.
No, please. You did this at your birthday. You were very self-indulgent.
I didn't sing at my birthday.
You bloody well did.
I did not.
Well, Bublé got up. You did. Down at you got that bloke Isaac Appel on the phone, on the piano.
Oh, no, that was 20 years ago.
Well, on your 60th.
Sorry.
Geez, bored us all shitless. We're all looking to crawl under the table while you're up there indulging yourself.
Well, you're up there taking a free feed. You didn't have to turn up.
Well, I just did it for you, just like I turn up to humour you here. You need somebody.
I don't need you to turn up and eat free food, the lobster and the butterfly wings and aspic jelly. You bought your own meal and sat out in the car and ate vegetables and shit out in the car. You said, I'm not eating that
shit. Who did you have for your 70th? Oh, Tom Berlin.
Didn't
you get up and sing a duet with Tom?
No, I didn't. Tom said...
You sure?
Oh, Don. He said, Sam, come... I said, no, Tom.
Yeah, the one in next door. Yeah, that's right. I thought he got up.
Not
he ruined
Tom.
The whole show.
No,
he ruined Tom.
I did not get up with Tom Burleson.
Oh, you're going ratty. I'm sure he
invited him up.
Who did?
He invited him up.
Did they sing a duet?
No, No, that's not right.
Oh, bullshit.
I did not get up and
all sing. I remember is the repartee between he and Amanda that that night.
What was that? What was that? What was that?
When you're up on the stage, yes. Making your speech.
Yeah.
And you were being heckled from the auditorium.
Yeah, I
was
being heckled by a man. No, that was I'd asked her to do that.
Oh! Do you want to repeat it?
No, that's good. No,
well, it started off very low. Amanda, yeah. Thank you,
what
Amanda.
What did she say?
Thank you, Amanda. Yeah. By the end, will you fucking well shut up?
Yeah. It was entertaining, though.
Oh, no, yes. Everybody was under the table.
It was just... No, they weren't. No, it wasn't. It was just the mischief in the kid.
That was what? Will you fucking well shut up, Amanda?
No, I didn't say that.
You did.
I did not.
Hey, listen. The 100-odd guests will back me up.
No, they weren't.
Oh, yes.
I tell you who was there.
Who was there?
Bert and Patty.
Where?
Bert and Newton, Patty.
At your 7th?
Yeah, and Molly Meldrum.
Molly Meldrum. I didn't know what he was. I said hello to him, but I couldn't understand Molly. There were a lot of dignitaries and...
Yeah, a lot of very good
celebrities
people.
There, yeah, that night.
No, that was entertaining.
It was a spot.
No, I thanked Amanda profusely after oh, for
did you adding really?
A bit of a spice to it. So anyhow... Now you so I don't know what Ian Cook's doing. And Shane Crawford's been, as I said, it was offensive that he's actually going to be part of the thing. We got
I've got some sport.
We've done Abby Chatsworth.
I've got a fair bit on sport.
Righto, Ben Foot. And I'd like to do the shout outs, but I'm not sure that we should do them at the minute. Craig and Mark out at Bayford Ford.
Where are Bayford Ford?
Epping. Have you been to Epping?
No!
It's 2 hour drive.
And, what do Epping, they do? They sell Fords.
They sell Fords. Very, very busy.
What at Epping?
Yeah. Epping. That's right. Big Bay Ford Centre.
Bayford.
Well, Bay Ford. I think it's a play on words, is it? I don't know. Bayford Ford. They're out there. And we've got Jeff, who's a real estate guru. He goes to, I see Jeff, he lives in my building, and he's a real estate guru. He writes and gives material to the Herald Sun, and he's...
What do you mean?
Well, he gives it real estate tips and advice. He's not sure if he's on their payroll, but he might be a freelancer.
What do you mean, a freelancer?
And Mick Christian, now who's moved down to Tasmania. Mick was going to make some caps with...
Well, what's happened to those?
Well, Mick's opened his big gob here and he said, I'm going down to Tasmania, Sam, and I'm going to retire, but I'd like to make some... Because Max here, who's sitting beside me, he got a one-off cap with You Cannot Be Serious on it, one of those baseball caps. And it had a lot of reaction to it, and Mick thought, oh, well, I'll get a whole lot of them made and we'll sell them. Well, Mick will sell them, and give me some of the proceeds, and that'd be good. So we're waiting to see if the caps have been produced and manufactured, and if they have, we could. I said, Mick, you'll have to package them up and send them out. We're not a postal service here. He said he'd be delighted to do that. So I'm only just mentioning that because I'm not sure where they've got to. And will I mention the marijuana oil again?
Hey, listen. No, hang on, Maxie. You once you reach our age, you'll understand. Hey, listen.
Well,
I think this stuff's working.
What?
I think this stuff's working on me anyway.
Right. Well, that's.
I'm sleeping better. I think it's a cycle, because I'm sleeping better, so that allows.
You're sleeping on your own?
Yes.
Like you don't have a dog or anything?
No.
Do you have a dog on your bed?
No.
Do you have a dog in your bed?
I don't have a dog anyway. Okay,
right, good.
Why do you really have to think about that? Surely it's just yes or no.
Well, the brain, as you get older, Max, the brain's a little slower.
Do you think the marijuana oil has done
no,
something?
No, well, what I think it's doing is helping my sleep.
Yeah.
So consequently, it gives the body time to replenish, whereas I used to wake a lot of the time and get on the computer at night. I don't do that any longer. And I think it must have an anti-inflammatory component.
Do you reckon?
Because I'm walking much better. I'm working much better. So I'm doing... Well, I'm riding two horses. Well, here we go, back to the horse. I measure myself.
Yeah, horses.
Where I used to take painkillers and anti-inflammatories. But now I can work two horses in a day very, very easily.
Anything to start with age, Don. Hawthorn, what? Horses and hooers.
And no, hooers.
No, hooers. No, that starts with a W. Now, Don, so you know the man who prescribes the...
Jimmy Stewart.
James.
Even I know who James Stewart is.
So he might be listening to this because he's currently living in a condominium over in Monaco. Because he's been inundated with people coming.
So I refer a lot of people to him.
Oh, no. Well, you don't refer.
Is there anyone else that does it?
Marijuana oil?
Yeah, does
it? Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, I refer a lot of people to just get on the website.
I know some very prominent people who have gone out there.
So do I, because I refer them. They're prominent in my life.
You just shouldn't refer them. All you should do is speak about what you think it does for you. You shouldn't
refer
people.
I have the thing that it mightn't be your metabolism. It certainly works for me. And your metabolism might be a little different to mine, but I can... Hey, talking about endorsing things, what about the food that Kate Save gave you? Have you eaten it yet?
You're unbelievable.
No, have you eaten it yet?
She said put it in the freezer.
Well, when are you going to take it out?
Well, when I want to eat it, Don.
Well, let me know, because I used a protein balls. You remember those balls you gave us? They're very nourishing.
We've just turned this show into an advertorial half hour.
A lifestyle program.
You are pretending that you're not advertising or giving James Stewart a leg up with the marijuana oil. And Kate Save, you've mentioned her balls, her protein balls, three times now on three different podcasts.
Well, that's the only thing I got out of it. You got meals out of it.
Are we indirectly advertising? Well, Let us know, because we'll send someone a bill if we are.
Just out of curiosity, Don, how long have you been using the marijuana oil?
Your father put me onto it 3 months ago because he said he can now...
No, 3 months.
And I thought he was bullshitting. Yep. And I was very, very sceptical.
Yeah.
But it's taken, I reckon, that time to get into my system.
Do you think it's got a bit of a mental play on you as well, a bit of a placebo?
I think it has.
It gives you a bit more confidence.
Again, I notice I do not interact with other people. All I can judge it by is my relationship with my animals. And those animals seem to be far more contented about... They sense something, animals.
They sense that
your disposition...
They sense something. They see you walking up the hill and go,
"My disposition has changed."
But mind you, Don, remember when I came down? Do you remember when I came down to the Werribee Equestrian Centre
and gave the commentary?
I came over to where your two horses were tied up.
Moored.
What do you call them? Yeah, I know. They were tied up.
They were tethered.
Tethered is the word I was after. And you're saying, hello, and you're speaking to them in this gruff voice. And I, now you tell me if this is not true. And I drove up in my car because I said I was leaving. And because I said, Don, I'm going to go now. And you said, yeah, all right. And the horses heard this calming, soothing voice. Did they not come over to the fence? And they almost stuck their head in the window of my car because I said to them, hello.
Well, that's how I am now.
And the horses, and when I drove off, they actually trotted up to the end of the fence where they couldn't go any further, forlornly looking at me, thinking, hoping please come back. I've got something in common with a human. Because you were belting them and fucking talking to them. And
well, it's changed. Well, I'm like you. I'm like you now on that day. So they're starting to gravitate towards me.
They were so grateful to have someone who actually resembled...
You could speak on their level.
Yeah, you'd been speaking gruffly to them. So there we go. Now, where are we up to? Yes, so...
John Farnham?
Yeah, John Farnham, has... He's been diagnosed with cancer. So the Premier, did you hear the Premier come out and say...
Yeah, very blanketed term.
the Premier came out and said, oh, he's a great man, which he is. And the Premier, what would the Premier jump on the bandwagon for?
Well, because he's trying to improve his be one of the men. It's just like Albanese going to the rock concert the other night, drinking a beer at the rock concert. They're trying to be Bob Hawke again.
Yeah,
reincarnate Bob Hawke.
Trying to be one of the people, eh?
Hey, listen, driving around in your Mustangs and your vintage cars, have you hit any potholes recently on Victorian roads? I think they are the most... That peninsula link has now got holes in it. Another government road called the Old Muriduck Highway, I counted half a dozen holes in the space of 400 metres.
Did you do?
So why aren't the government or the local governments fixing up or maintaining the roads?
Oh, because they're putting all their money into creating bike lanes for people.
Or digging a tunnel from a train tunnel from Cheltenham to...
I can't comment on why potholes are appearing in new roads.
Well, the point is... they are really popping up. Like, even on side roads or anything where I work and live, there's way more potholes than what there were 6 months ago. It's ridiculous. And while that's a throwaway comment that they're spending on bike lanes, they probably are.
They are.
Well, the damage it did... Well, I hit a couple... New South Wales is shocking. It's an absolute disgrace. The truck took off. The semi-trailer took off. But you hit those potholes down where I live... and it upsets the suspension of the car. And I'm frightened of blowing a tyre because you hit them so hard. That's and with the rain, it just gouges a bigger hole. The water gets in and you just gouge a hole, which becomes enormous pothole. It's a disgrace.
Blowing a seal. There's a joke about that. Bloke blew a seal. And he said, no. Now, Don.
What?
I know, it's a risque. Every time I tell risque jokes, I get...
Or was he in the Navy or something?
Abby Chatfield on the phone.
Abby Chat...
Stale, pale...
Abby Chatfield, what a...
Was it stale, pale,
when
what?
You're insignificant and irrelevant, you try too hard to be noticed. I'm not sure why she didn't just stick to her own Abby. Lane.
Just let her be, will you?
It's pathetic. Like, honestly, childish. So, Don... James Bond, I just mentioned this, and you might have a crack at doing a promo for James Bond again. Remember that we tried to get you to say I'm Bond,
I'm
James
Bond. Bond?
Yeah,
James
and you said Bond. I'm Don Scott.
Do it properly,
James.
What's your name,
James?
Yeah, we should replay that. That's one of the most extraordinary
funniest thing ever.
Yeah,
and I remember I called Dad after I heard that.
Just in case people aren't listening, I can't remember. I said to you, what is the most famous line that, in my opinion and a lot of others, that Sean Connery said when the franchise came out? And he was sitting at the roulette table and this pretty-looking bird who was sitting opposite, and she said, I'm Abby Chatfield, or were Chatfield. I'm Abby. And he said, and you are, he said, Bond, James Bond. And I said, Don, do it. And I said, now, when I say I'm Abby or whatever her fucking name is, and I said, hello, my name's Abby, and you are, and you went, Don. I said, not fucking Don, you're James. I said, oh, sorry, Don Scott. I said, no, Don, we're going to do this properly. I'm Abby. Hello, I'm Abby. And who are you? My name, what's your name? And you said, Scott. No, your name's not Scott. I know your name's James Bond. So I'm just saying, Don, James Bond's franchise, they say, is safe.
Do you think that's a famous line, or didn't Humphrey Bogart have one in...
What, said, my name's Bond, James Bond?
No, he had a famous line.
My name's Humphreys.
Yeah, she played it for them. Play it again, Sam. But he never said that.
Didn't he?
No, he never. He said, you played it for her, now play it, Sam.
No, Sam, take it away, Sam.
Really?
He said, Jackie Gleason said, a little bit of travelling music, Sam, and away we go. That was Sammy Spear. That's how I got my nickname, Sam.
Sammy Spears was the band
Sammy
leader.
Sammy Spear, yes. Sammy Spear.
And he used
and
to kind
orchestra.
Of do a bit of a walk and a wind-up, didn't he?
How did you do it, Jackie? And away we go. Don. James Bond franchise.
So Bob Davis, did he make that? Did he take?
They didn't finish. He's been talking.
Now, hang on. I want to explore this more. Wasn't it Bob Davis who used to take Jackie Gleason off?
Don.
Where?
Yeah, he did. And that's how I got my nickname, Sam, from Sammy Spear and his orchestra. Now, Don, James Bond franchise. Could you interrupt again? James Ron franchise, they say, is safe till the year 2037. And they've decided to try and go woke. Remember they tried to get Halle Berry to be the new James Bond, how you could make a woman called...
She was a Bond girl.
Yeah. When was this?
Well, I think that she was going to be the new Bond and she was going to be 007, but she wouldn't be called James.
Do you mean Hayley Atwell?
No, he said Halle Berry.
I know, but was a Bond girl. And
I thought Halle Berry was going to be maybe a... And now they see... Have you heard of Idris Elba?
Yeah.
Idris
Elba. Great actor.
What?
Great actor. Mm.
Well, they asked him to be the new Bond because he is a person of colour.
He's also British.
Yeah, he's a British, but he's a person of colour. So they thought, well, we tried to ask Halle Berry to be the new 007, so we'll get now in this woke society, we'll ask Idris Elba, who would get there in his own right because he's a very good actor. That would cover the that would be a person of colour now, so we're trying to be all inclusive and diverse, and Daniel Craig has decided that he's not going to do it.
So hang on, this was talked about 4 years ago.
Well, it just came out that they just said that the franchise has been signed for 2037.
Yes,
so that's how it just came out.
Right,
it might have been talked.
Idris Elba was touted as being the next James Bond 4 years ago because Craig said this was his last one.
Yes, well, he has just come out and said that he's rejected. He doesn't want to be the new James Bond. Idris and Halle Berry, I don't know what happened to her, and Daniel Craig, so they're going to have to find some. Don, would you like to do a screen test for James
Maybe
Bond?
Maybe Shane Crawford.
Shane Crawford. That's right. They could get a whole lot of dwarfs.
Dwarfs? He's a big man.
Deceptively
big.
They could get a whole lot of dwarfs to play opposite Shane so that he'd look like a giant.
Well, how tall is Sean Connery?
Sean Connery
Daniel Craig doesn't look that big.
Daniel
Craig's 6'1".
Daniel Craig's a small man.
Apparently Alan Ladd. Remember Alan Ladd who used to be in the Westerns?
Alan Ladd.
He used to stand on a box, or they used to shoot him in such a way that made him look taller. He was in Westerns.
Yeah.
Do you remember Alan Ladd?
Yeah, I do.
He was very short.
Was he?
Yeah, but they made him look tall. Maybe they could do the same with Shane. They did that, or do you think they could put platform shoes on Shane? He could be something like out of
Stilts.
Kiss. Yeah, like Kiss. He'd be those big boots that Kiss wear.
Kiss was on last night. Sorry, not getting off topic.
What?
Kiss was on last night. Kiss, the rock band. They were in Melbourne last night.
Yeah, I saw
that was just coincidental that you said that, Don.
Anyhow,
I saw a great interview with Kiss. A lady from Channel 9 did it, Brooke Boney.
Brooke Boney?
Brooke Boney, she entertainment reporter, did a terrific interview with Kiss.
Just lastly on James Bond, it's also coincidental you brought that up. I heard the most amazing fact throughout the week. Do you know why James Bond orders a martini? Don, what's the famous line that he orders a drink on? What are you doing?
Having something to eat. I was waiting for Kate Saves Balls.
Maybe we could wait till we go off air.
Yeah, just hey, it's our foil as well. Come on, man.
You dumb ass. You are a knob jockey, Don. A knob jockey. Now, Max... James Bond's favourite drink was, I want a something, something...
On the rocks, wasn't it? Something
a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
Do you know that, Don?
Did you know? So go on, what would you... I pretend you're James Bond, Don.
Do this again.
I'm saying, Mr. Bond...
Hang on, who am I?
You're James Bond, and I'm asking you, and you've
what,
got
what
to
do
say...
I want to drink?
A vodka martini shaken, not stirred, right? So here we go. And what would you like, Mr. Bond?
Vodka martini.
Take your hand away from your mouth.
Well, I'm...
So here we are.
Take
your hand away from your mouth.
The brain's got to get working with the mouth.
Take your hand away from your mouth. So, Don, here I am. I'm tending bar and I'm saying, and what would you like? She says, I'd like a champagne. And what would you like, Mr. Bond?
Martini on the rocks.
A vodka martini shaken, not stirred. How hard is that to remember? Don, here we go again.
What is it, a vodka martini not stirred?
Shaken, not stirred.
Martini. Oh, who gives a rat's?
John, it's just
I still haven't finished my point, but...
She could have been a Bond girl in a day, that lady walking up the stairs.
Don't get distracted now.
So, Don. Hello, Mr. Bond. What would you like to drink?
James.
James. James, what would you like to drink?
Vodka martini on the rocks.
Oh, fuck! He's hopeless. Just quickly, though, do you know why he wanted his martini shaken and not stirred?
No.
It's because...
Didn't want to bruise the olive?
No. It's when the alcohol is stirred with the ice, the water, the alcohol and everything, it all infuses together. But when it's shaken and it's poured, the water sits on top so that when he drinks it, he's not getting as drunk. And I just thought that was a really niche little fun fact that is just for spycraft. That's why they created it. That's why it's shaken, not stirred. So
very good point. Well done, Max. Now we're going to have one final attempt. Don said, "Now Don is now actually eating.
How is he eating?
If you couldn't have waited for another 30 seconds. And what would you like to drink, James? James, what would you like to drink? Oh.
I've never had your mouth.
You've got a mouthful of food. People write in. People get on the social media and say, why does that buffoon eat? What would you like to drink, James?
Martini on the rocks, not stirred or whatever. Oh, I wouldn't.
Honestly,
I thought you
said the marijuana oil was making a bit more alert.
You cockhead.
Idiot.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't